We've been talking about the 70th week. I hope we have tried to make that plain, what that 70th week is. We've tried to share with you that it's the 69 weeks that has already passed. We can't do anything about them. They are in the past. We are just looking forward to that. And the reason I'm saying forward is because the rapture happens before the 70th week. And the 70th week is a week that's determined against the people of Israel. And I want you to always remember that. It has nothing to do with the church. It's Israel that's determined against the people of Daniel, his people, and the city, Jerusalem. So it's just, if you can get that in your mind, you'll understand that this tribulation period that we speak about quite often is that 70th week. We have 1 week of years left. That's 7 years. And that's what we're dealing with. That's what's going to happen after the rapture. But I wanted to kind of share with you, and I'll read verse 26 and 27. And after 62 weeks, and of course, I should have probably read 25 because he talks about the 7 weeks and then 62 weeks, and shall Messiah be cut off? And we know that 69 weeks, we tried to share that last week, came to an end when Jesus Christ made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. That's when that ended. And then after that, it talks about here, after that, the Messiah will be cut off. And we know he was. He was on the cross of Calvary. And thank God for that for us, because it paid the penalty of our sin. But that happened because he says it will here. He'll be cut off. And he says, but not for himself. No, it wasn't for himself. It was for us, for our sins. And he says, and then the people of the prince that shall come. We discussed that. The prince that shall come there is the Antichrist. That's the Antichrist that shall come. He says, and his people, the people whom he will come out of, will destroy the city, and that is Jerusalem, which took place in AD 70. Okay, that did happen. And the sanctuary. The temple was destroyed, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of war desolations are determined. Let me say something. There's other scriptures that tell us this, but there will never be peace on this earth till Jesus comes. There never will. There's going to be wars and wars and wars. I'm grateful we work for peace. We try to avoid wars, but they're not going to avoid wars. They're always going to be. Whether it's the United States in a war, but somebody, somewhere, many places are in war on this old planet. And that's the way it's going to be till Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, comes and sets up his kingdom. And then he says, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now, that's what we kind of want to start with and share with you so you can get it in your mind that this week we're talking about takes place after the rapture. That week cannot start till the rapture of the church. And if you're familiar, when I talk about the rapture of the church, the word rapture is not found in the Bible, but it means catching away of the church. We refer to it as the rapture. That is when every born-again Christian, when Jesus comes, every born-again Christian will be lifted off of this earth. Those that are already dead will be come out of the graves and will all go up to meet him in the air. Okay? Now, what I'd like to do is go over so that we can just kind of clarify this to 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. And I just want to read a few verses to you because I want you to, and maybe you don't have any trouble with this. I know some people have trouble distinguishing between the rapture and the second coming of the Lord. The rapture is a part of the second coming, but I'm going to show you actually two comings. One is when he comes in the air to call us up to meet him, and that's 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, verse 13. He said, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." In other words, you have relatives, I'm sure, that have already died and are gone. He said, "I don't want you to be concerned about them. If they was Christians, they're gonna be all right." He's gonna tell us what he's gonna do here in a moment. But he says they are all right. They're just asleep in the Lord. He said, "I don't want you to sorrow as those that have no hope." You see, when a person is not saved, they don't have any hope for the future. They have none. They have no hope. And he says, "But you do have hope. You have hope because your faith, your trust is in Jesus Christ." Amen? Amen. See, you have that hope. And he says in verse 14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." That's the secret. What is it we have to do? We have to believe that Jesus died and he rose again for our sins, right? And when we believe that, and those that's already dead, already in the grave, if they believe that, it's all right, because he's going to change their bodies and bring them out of them a new body out of the grave, and he'll bring them with him from heaven, because they're in heaven, they're not in the grave. Amen. That's good. Amen. And he's going to then put us all together. We'll go up to meet him in the air. I'm not going to go to 1 Corinthians, but if you want to go to the 1 Corinthians and read 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, you'll find out we're just caught up into the air to meet the Lord in the air. See, that's a glorious thing. And he says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." The dead will come out of the graves. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Thank God for that. "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." I want to tell you something that is designed. God put it in the Bible to comfort us. To know, folks, there's a better day coming. Amen. And those that are saved and their bodies are in the ground, they're not. We're going to meet them again. They're going to come with the Lord, and we'll go up to meet them in the air, and we'll be with him forever. That's what he says. See, that's glorious. That's glorious scripture. And comfort, he says. Oh my, what a comfort that is. This old world, I'm going to tell you, it's just rough sometimes. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad place, but it's just everywhere you look, there's sin and trouble and heartaches. But just think about it. One of these days, that's all going to end in a moment's time. Caught up to be with the Lord forever and ever and ever. And we'll never, ever have to have another pain, another tear, no death, none of that. It'll all be past. So why wouldn't that comfort us? Amen. Now that's the rapture. That's what we're talking about. If you are a Christian, I trust you are. When Jesus comes in the air, he's just in a twink of an eye. Go up to meet the Lord. Amen. You see, that's what you and I have got to look forward to. Now, that's what we're looking for. That's next on the agenda as far as we Christians are concerned. See, the tribulation period, that last week, that seven years, cannot start till after the rapture happens. Okay? Now, turn over to the book of Matthew, 24th chapter. I want you to distinguish these. I think it's important you get them in your mind. Some of you probably already do, but I think it's important that you have this in your mind. The rapture happens, and then the seven weeks of tribulation began after the rapture of the church. Now, in chapter 24 of Matthew, Let me just, let's see here. Let me start at just verse 4 for just a moment. I'm not going to read a bunch, but Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and then shall be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All of these are the beginning of sorrow. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax old. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation. See, we studied that in Daniel. That was going to happen. The abomination, that's the Antichrist, is going to come and present himself in the midst of the tribulation period in the temple there in Jerusalem, and he's going to present himself as God. See, and he says, when you see that, he said the prophet stand in the holy place, Daniel the prophet, and he said, stand in the holy place which readeth, let him understand. Then let them which is in Judea flee into the mountains. And I'm going to read him more, but what it does is he tells Israel to get out of there, to get out of Jerusalem and flee to a place where God has provided for them. We'll probably talk about that sometime down the road. But God has provided a place for them in the wilderness somewhere. There's speculation, it may be Peter and all of these things, but I don't know where it's going to be. But he's got a place, he's going to prepare to take the Israelites and protect them the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Okay, now the reason I read that to you is, you see, this is not the rapture he's talking about before all of this happens before the rapture. We're seeing the evidence of it. But he's saying, when you see this happen, you better look up, your redemption draweth nigh. He's talking about when Jesus Christ comes again after the rapture, 7 years later, he's going to come and set up his kingdom on this earth. And he will come in great power and glory. Just let me read verse 29 of that chapter. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And listen, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. You see, that's the difference. In the rapture, we're just caught up to meet him in the air. He doesn't come to the earth. But in this, he comes in great power and glory. And that's at the end of the tribulation period, okay? So you kind of need to get those things in your mind, because it's easy sometimes to read the scripture and say, well, look, all of these things are going to happen before the rapture. That's not true. We probably are going to see the evidence of them, but there is nothing as has to happen before the rapture of the church. Nothing. I mean, he could come at any moment. Now, we are seeing the evidences of these things. We're seeing earthquakes. We're seeing all of these things happening. And we can look and say, my goodness, you know, the rapture could be very close, because these things are going to be happening before he comes back to set up his kingdom. And so, you know, that's really kind of exciting to think we're getting this close. I've told you, you know, because of Israel being a nation once more, and it's in the news all the time, and the Israelites are going back to Jerusalem and to Israel, and that's exciting, because we know, we really believe the rapture of the church is very near. You see, we don't know when it is. We're not supposed to know when it is, but we better realize the things we're seeing, it could happen any moment. Amen. So what do? Comfort one another with these words that Jesus Christ is coming again. Amen. That's exciting. So I kind of wanted just to make sure that you had that in your mind. What we're looking for is the rapture. Jesus coming, okay? And then 7 years of tribulation. That's that week of Daniel spoke about, the last week, the 70th week, will take place. And so anyway, Jesus then, after that, will come back in glory. Go with me to Revelation, the 9th chapter, just to kind of give you a little bit of encouragement. What did I say, 19th chapter? 19th chapter. 19th chapter of book of Revelation. And verse 11, let me tell you. You see, he's going to come back, I told you, and we read there, in great power and glory. Now let's listen here a minute. In chapter 19, verse 11 is a kind of a picture of that when he comes back. And it says, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war." Now who are they talking about there? Who is faithful and true? Jesus Christ. That's it. It's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he says, "His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dripped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." That's Jesus. Okay? "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." I just like to tell you, get ready to hop on a horse. That's us he's talking about. We're going to come back with him. Isn't that exciting? And yes, you'll ride a horse. It's okay. You'll be a little different than you are right now. Amen. And so will I. And we're coming back with him. And I'm not going to go through all this, but I'll read the next verse because it says something wonderful. It says, "Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God." I'm not going to read any more on that now, but you see, he comes back, and the sword that proceeds out of his mouth is the Word of God. All he has to do is speak, and the nations will be destroyed. Those nations that stood against him all of these years and rose up against him and are doing so right at this very moment, standing against the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is, standing against God, he will come in power and will destroy those nations and bring them to judgment. Amen? See, that's why I'm saying take heart. Take heart. I know our nation is in a mess, but take heart. Okay, God is still in control. You pray, and you pray for your nation, pray for its leaders. I try every day to pray for President Obama, Vice President Biden. I pray for all of Congress. My first prayer is that every one of them would get saved. If they're not saved, that they would get saved. That's my first prayer. And I ask the Lord to help them to receive the wisdom of God instead of the wisdom of man. I'm just saying to you, I think we should pray for our leaders. I pray for the Secretary of State. I pray for the Secretary of Defense, Gates and Clinton. I pray for them. I'm just telling you, I think we need to pray. I think we need to ask God and to give them wisdom, godly wisdom, you see. You understand what I'm saying? Whether they receive it or not, I don't know. But I know we got to pray. We got to ask God to do something for this nation. This nation is a mess. I'm telling you, economically, we are a broke, broke nation. And I'm telling you, I don't really... You may see some little better times, but you're not going to see this thing come out of this completely and fully. We are a nation that has turned our back on God Almighty. We are walking contrary to his word, and he's merciful. He is merciful. I know he is. He has been for a long, long, long time. But I'm saying to you, and I'm just saying this out of my heart. Do everything you can to prepare and get yourself in a situation, a better situation financially. Quit blowing money when you don't need to blow money. I know all of us have needs, and that's okay. God knows the needs. But don't just go blowing money. Get yourself financially in a better condition. I'm just saying that from my heart, okay? Understand? We don't need a lot of things. We ought to be more content with what we have. Amen? We ought to be more content. And I'm just saying that because the day is coming soon. Okay? Now, it's okay. I'm not trying to scare you. It's okay. Jesus is still on the throne. But he does want us to use common sense. You understand? That he gives us. And so I'm just saying to you, please, please, use wisdom as you spend money. Okay? Just use wisdom. God's wisdom. Okay? When you go into a store, ask God to help you. I'm serious about that. I go into a store, I ask God to help me what I spend it for. Because there's all kinds of things around that you might want. Amen. They're everywhere. But just ask God to help you, give you wisdom. That's what the Holy Spirit of God is for. Sometimes, I don't know why I'm getting all this, but sometimes you can buy a product that is cheaper and you're wasting money. But sometimes you can buy a product that is cheaper and it's just as good. That's where you and I need Holy Spirit wisdom. Amen? And didn't he promise to instruct us and teach us in the way we should go and guide us with his eye? Will he not help us if we will listen to him? Okay? Does that help? Okay? Just let God help you. See, he loves you dearly. You know that according to the Bible. He loves you. He sent Jesus. He loves us. And he wants to help us. And he wants to give us wisdom in our dealings, you know, in everyday life. And you and I need him. See? So I'm just saying to you, Jesus is coming. Just take heart, okay? Take heart. Jesus is coming. He loves you. All right. So anyway, that's just a little picture there of Jesus when he comes back. We're going to come back with him. All right. And so I've tried to distinguish between the rapture of the church when Jesus comes in the air. He will not come to the ground at that time, to the earth at that time. He'll come in the air, call us off. After that, the 70th week will begin. Okay, that's when the Antichrist moves in and confirms a covenant with Israel for 7 years. Now, at the end, I'm going to jump ahead. At the end of that 7 years is when then Jesus comes back with his armies, with us, comes back to this earth, and establishes what we've always called the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ upon this earth. Now, that's scriptural. I'm not going to go to it now. But he reigns for 1,000 years, and we will reign with him. We will reign and rule with him for 1,000 years. And then we'll just go right on into eternity. He will never be put down. He will always be on the throne. Okay? A few things happen there at the end of the 1,000 years, but it's short-lived. Satan is completely put where he should be put forever and ever and ever. Okay? So anyway, I hope that will help. The 70th week, another thing to remember in the book of Revelation when you're reading it. When you get to the 6th chapter of the book of Revelation, you are beginning the 70th week. The 7 years of tribulation. That 6th chapter through the 19th chapter, the book of Revelation, covers the tribulation period. Okay, so as you read, you understand that. You're in the tribulation period as soon as you get into chapter 6 of the book of Revelation, and you stay there till the 19th chapter, which we just read a little bit about him coming back and taking care of the Antichrist and all the nations and all of that. And so anyway, so the 7 year begins right after the rapture, and that is the last week, the 70th week, somewhere, and I personally am not sure where, when that'll begin, but the temple must be built again. The temple in Jerusalem must be built, because they're going to start sacrificing once again in this seventh week. More likely the beginning of it. So exactly when the temple is built, I certainly don't know, but it will be built. It has to be, because they start the sacrifices, once again sacrificing at the beginning there of that 70th week. And then in the middle of that, we found that out in Daniel, we found it out in the midst of that week, 3.5 years later, in the midst of this 70th week, he tears up the agreement. He made a covenant with them, made a covenant. You know, and I think about that. The word of men nowadays don't mean anything. We're always saying we got this, these treaties with Russia, and they don't mean a thing. Only as long as it pleases them to hold them and keep them. And that's exactly what's going to happen with the Antichrist. He's going to tear up that agreement in the midst of that 70th week, which is 7 weeks, and it'll be 3.5 years. 3.5 years, he's going to tear up that agreement and throw it away and forget it and move against Israel, you see. What he's doing, he's only using them for his purpose to rise to world power. That's what he's doing. Let me, are we still in Revelation 17th chapter? Just go to the 17th chapter. I want to show you. You see, he just uses anything and any people to help him to rise to power in those days. Now, he does the same thing with the false church. Now remember, the church has been lifted off. We're gone. The true church is gone. We're in heaven with Jesus. But there's still a church on this earth, and it's the false church. Now he uses it. In fact, in chapter 17, verse 1, "And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters." Now, the great whore is the false church that will remain on this earth. That's who that is. And when it says it sets on many waters, it means it sets on many peoples. It'll tell us that in multitudes of people. He's going to have control over multitudes of people, the false church, which is already forming. Churches all over the world, and let me say to you, let me say it in kindness and grace, and I'll try to explain. The Catholic Church is going to be one of the main leadership in this. The Pope is going to be one of the main leadership. Now, when you say you look at every Catholic, all I know is this: if they truly are trusting Jesus Christ for the payment of their sin, that's the way they're saved. But most Catholic are not trusting in Jesus Christ. They're trusting in Mary and every other thing, and the Pope and every other thing. I'm not trying to judge every Catholic. I'm just saying to you, they are going to be one of the great deceived people. And the leadership, the Pope over there, I saw him on Fox News the other day, and there he was, and people were bowing down to him and kissing his hand, and I can't, it just must make me puke. And he's accepting that type of adoration. And it's terrible. I mean, it is terrible. But here's what he says in verse 15 of chapter 17. It says, "And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues." See, he has great control over multitudes. "And the ten horns," that is the ten-horned kingdom of the Antichrist, "which thou sawest upon the beast." You see, he was riding the beast, okay? And he says, "And these shall hate the whore, the false church, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire." When he gets done with the false church, because he doesn't want anybody worshiping anything else but him, he's going to destroy her, burn her with fire. Okay? I think the leadership there, and I think Rome will burn, because I think that's where the leadership is going to come from. It's not going to be just Rome, but it's going to be that included. "And God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give this kingdom, their kingdom, unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth." I don't have time to really, and I didn't intend to get that much into that, but I'm just saying to you, when the Antichrist gets done with anybody that gets in his way, he destroys them. And the false church is going to be destroyed by him and his kingdoms, the ten horns. And he's going to destroy them and burn that old false church, because he's done with them. Then for 3.5 years, he's going to reign terror over the Israelites and over the whole world. So anyway, I've run out of time again, but I just hope those things are help. I'm trying to get it where you get these things in your mind, where it is. We're looking for the rapture, amen?
Amen?
We're looking for that catching away of God's people. And then that old tribulation, and again, that should do something for us. That should keep us busy doing everything we can to get people saved and ready, because we want them to go in the rapture. Amen? Because it ain't going to be fun afterwards. Father, thank you again for your kindness and goodness, your grace, your mercy. Thank you for loving us. Help us to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen.